Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome to the Three Martini Lunch as we take a look at some of the most important, unique, bizarre, just all looking at what happened here in the year 2010 and handing out some awards. We've been doing it for the last several days. And here on New Year's Eve, as we get ready to bid farewell to the year 2010 and welcome the year 2011, we give out some of our most prestigious awards. First of all, the Person of the Year. Jim, take it away.
Sure. Well, first of all, Greg, I'd note this is inspired and or ripped off by the McLaughlin Group style End of the Year Award. So I'd like all the listeners out there to picture us in tuxedos and doing this in formal wear from with nice holiday decorations behind us. My nominee for Person of the Year would be the Tea Partier. And if someone has an objection to an abstract figure, a caricature or a portrait representing a group of many, many people, then if I had to pick one individual, I'd say Sarah Palin. And I think probably the reason I'm picking this for, besides all the obvious ones, is that Sarah Palin is having such an outsized impact on our political discussions and political process and phrases like death panels and you know, the discussions and the arguments put forth, all of this while she's out of office. Former governors who leave after their second year are not supposed to be this influential.
Right.
And yet she's the one who's always discussed, whose comments always get repeated, who is, very much desired on the campaign trail by Republican candidates. I think she is the public figure most closely associated with the Tea Parties, and I think that is the biggest political story of the year in 2010.
I'm pretty much right on your heels there. I have the American voter as the Person of the Year. They got very much engaged over the past 2 years, took it all the way to the polls in November, and they're not going away, as we saw with the omnibus bill that probably would have passed without public outrage. I didn't channel into Sarah Palin, channeled into John Boehner, since he's the one who makes the biggest leap as a result of that American anger towards the status quo. Obviously, he wasn't necessarily the linchpin figure going around district to district like Palin was, but he's the one who will actually have the power to implement some of the changes that the American people have been yearning for over the last couple of years, and really even longer than that. So I think,
Greg, I would just note in response to that, I'm sure he considers this a great honor. I'm sure this will bring tears to his eyes.
I'm sure he will. We'll send a box of Kleenex along with whatever token of an award we actually give out here. All right, Jim, your turncoat of the year.
Yeah, I mean, obviously a lot of good possibilities here. And two members of Congress flipped parties this cycle. People kind of forget about House member Parker Griffith going from the Democrats to the Republicans. But I think just for sheer epic scale, Arlen Specter stands out. You know, you think about him, saying he's going to remain a Republican. I think it was an entire 17 days or so before he switched to the Democratic Party. Did so in very high profile manner in 2009, and that really was considered, you might consider that day the apex of the Obama revolution and Democrats in Congress, because I kind of knew, and throughout much of the year I was saying, Arlen Specter was going to get defeated in 2010. I just didn't know when, and he ended up losing in the primary, in a very hard-fought primary against Joe Sestak, and I think it was probably a useful moment. I think the fact that Pat Toomey managed to beat Sestak suggest to us that had Specter survived, Toomey would have beaten him like a drum. So the fact that Specter so clearly had outlasted his welcome, ignored the message from Republican primary voters, arrogantly believed that the Democrats would embrace him, Obama and Biden also foolishly believed that they could sell the voters on this. Nobody ever bothered to ask Pennsylvania Democrats if they wanted to vote for a guy who they've been voting against for the better part of several decades. So I think just the sheer implosion at the end of his political career here stands out in making him my turncoat of the year.
Yeah, I have to dip a little bit back into 2009 to give my turncoat of the year as well. Not someone who switched parties, but someone who had a key hand in allowing the worst piece of legislation probably in my lifetime to go forward. Ben Nelson, the senator from Nebraska. He had been on the fence forever, and of course, when you're the last one on the fence and your vote makes the final difference, you're going to get a lot of attention. The Cornhusker kickback, there had been others who basically took bribes. Mary Landrieu, Joe Lieberman finally got appeased as well. But Ben Nelson, for providing Harry Reid that 60th vote, and in the end, it was March of this year that the health care bill finally passed the House, but it never would have got there without Ben Nelson providing that 60th vote and allowing this monstrosity to move forward. So he's my turncoat of the year. On to the last thing we're going to talk about here in the year 2010, New Year's resolution. Jim, what's yours?
Well, I could always make the same resolution I make every year regarding weight loss and a couple other projects that I want to have come to fruition in the next year. I was thinking about in terms of NRO and how I fulfill my duties here. I've really been thinking lately about whether the experience of past election cycles has made me too cynical. Now, there are probably a lot of politicians who have gone through their – we talked about the turncoats. We talked about the people who disappoint us time and again. And so that kind of, you know, conditions you to not put your faith in people and not necessarily think too highly of them and not get your hopes too high for any of them. But I think I'm trying to remember that politicians are people too. The political figures I cover are human beings who, even though they are flawed, very often are trying to do their best for the country. And so I will try to be a little less cynical in my coverage in the coming year. Now, I many listeners will probably have a chance to throw this back at me probably by about January 3rd or so. I have a feeling this it's a competition between this and the weight loss one to see which one I – which resolution I break first. But I will try to be a more sympathetic and less dark and burned out cynical correspondent in the coming year because we're heading into a, you know, probably an early primary season. There will be a great deal of people who will be Republicans bashing each other's heads in and depressing the heck out of me. So I'll try to start the year on a cheerier note.
Well, very noble New Year's resolution.
You can see how enthusiastically I'm embracing this, right, Greg?
Absolutely. I think you just want to bask in the midterm successes of this year and not have to wade into the food fight that will be the Republican primary. My New Year's resolution is to kind of goes back to our Person of the Year part of this podcast, and that's to hold the GOP feet to the fire. I think a lot of times those of us on the right, while we were critical at times of the Bush administration for their big spending ways and reliance on big government to achieve what they thought were conservative goals, we didn't bring out the hammer the way that we certainly did in the first years of this Obama administration. And I think what we did with the Obama administration is the way to do it. So with these Republicans now having power in the House and more power in the Senate, making sure that they actually follow through on what they've planned to do and not resorting to what they were doing in the first part of this decade and making sure that their actions are treated with an equal hand is a good way to move forward.
Sounds very good, Greg.
Very good. Well, Jim, Happy New Year to you. Don't have too many glasses of champagne in addition to the martinis you've had today. So we'll talk again in the new year.
I'll see you next year, Greg.
Absolutely. Jim Garrity of NationalReview.com. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Happy New Year to all. And we'll see you for the 3 Martini Lunch on Monday.